appreciate it. Amen. Praise God, everyone. Amen. It feels good to be in service this morning here at Grace Point. Amen. Are you thankful for your worship team, for your pastor, for everyone that makes service here possible, here at your church? Amen. I want to say thank you for making us feel so welcome. This is my wife, Eleanor, sitting on the front row, and we're so thankful just to be here in Lakeland, Florida with you all, and we feel God's presence in this place. That youth choir did a wonderful job, didn't they? Man, that takes a lot of time, a lot of practice and effort, and I'm glad that God is just moving in this place and has such a wonderful amount of young people here and all types of age groups, all types of backgrounds. A truly diverse church, so I'm glad that God is moving in Lakeland, Florida. Can you say amen? Amen. We're happy to serve as the youth pastors at Cypress Grove Fellowship in Orlando. My father is my pastor, so of course that's a relationship that I'm happy with, and I'm excited to be working alongside of him. And we want to give honor, of course, to the McGuires. Thank you for inviting us today. Thank you for making us feel welcome. Do you love your pastors this morning? Amen. I can tell you, I've had an opportunity, especially recently, to be able to glean a lot from Pastor McGuire. He's been teaching in our Purpose Institute's classes monthly, and I've been able just to glean so much from him. He is truly a man of God and has a lot of wisdom and understanding to be able to teach and to deliver. So I thank him for everything he's done for me over these past few months and what God has done at our church at Cypress Grove Fellowship. Amen. I want to get into the word of the Lord this morning, Luke chapter 3 and verse 15. And hopefully I can speak a message to you this morning that is encouraging, something that's inspiring and makes you want to, connect with God just a little bit more. Makes you want to really just look at Jesus and everything he's done for you and everything he's doing through you and realize that that is God Almighty on the inside of you. And through him, you can do all things. Luke chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.'" Verse 17, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." I want to speak on this subject this morning. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Would you help me pray this morning? Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything that you've done in this place so far, God. We thank you for the souls that are here this morning that want to hear your word, God. They want to be moved, Jesus, and they want your spirit to come on the inside to overflow. I pray that you would do that this morning, God. Touch this congregation, hallelujah, with your holy power through your precious name, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Give you thanks in all things. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, and you may be seated. This scripture that we just read, of course, was some information about John the Baptist, as we like to call him. And often when I think of John, the mental picture that I see is like that cartoon caricature of the man John. I think about Sunday school, and I think about all the lessons that I have ever learned, and I think about a guy who's covered in camel skin, and he's got just locusts and honey just dripping from his mouth. And he's got this kind of a crazy image when you think about the man John. But when we look at this scripture in Luke chapter 3, we see truly the man that John was. He's not just this cartoon of his hair all messed up and this wild man that's out in the wilderness, but he was a man of God. Sometimes if we can just get past that cartoon caricature of a man, we can see who God is in someone else's life. And he can do the same in your life today. When we get past everything else, the surface level, we realize who is God on the inside of you. Scripture tells us that John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He was the forerunner. He was the one who was preparing the way for Jesus to come and to make a difference in this world. And I'm so glad that he did. He made a way so that Christ could come, so that he could die on a cross for our sins, so that we could be free. Anybody glad this morning that you're free in Jesus' name? If the Son has set you free, you are free Indeed. Hallelujah. John preached in the city, but his first place of ministry was in the wilderness. And you might wonder, well, why on earth would a man be called into the wilderness? There's not a whole lot of people out there. It seems to be desolate. Seems like a desert place. There's wild animals out there. Seems dangerous. Why would God call a man out into the wilderness? And I think if God called me out to the wilderness, I might have to say, God, are you sure about that? I just need to spend a little more time in prayer. God, I need to understand that I are you calling me out to the wilderness? Okay, can I hunt? All right, I'm okay with that. Kind of strange. No people, or not as many people, no synagogues. Why would God call a man out into the wilderness? I'm sure preaching in the wilderness was not a popular thing to do. If you ask the preacher, well, you can go preach in a big city with a big church, or you can preach out in the wilderness in a shack somewhere, I wonder which one they would choose. Most likely, they would go towards a place where there's a lot of people responding to hear the word of God. But this is where God was calling John, to the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. And here's the reason why. Sometimes people are found in the wilderness. And maybe you found that in your life, that you found yourself in a desert place. You found yourself where there wasn't a lot of support around you. Your family was not supporting you like you believe they should have. Or you found yourself in a desert place spiritually. I know that I felt myself in that place before, because people are in the wilderness. Those that are hurting, people that are thirsty, people that need to hear the word of God, people that need to experience the saving power of Jesus' name, people that need to feel the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. And I'm not just talking about a physical wilderness place, but I'm talking about a spiritual wilderness that we find our world in today. When you go to your workplace, when you talk to your friends, when you talk to your family, your circle of people that are close to you, you realize that there are so many people in a wilderness that need to be found and need to be ministered to. So this is the place that John started. He went to a place that needed a message of hope. I know there's so many places out there today. When you look at the city of Lakeland, you look at all the surrounding communities, you realize there are people who are hurting. You realize there are people who are thirsty and desiring the word of God. All you have to do is go out there and talk to people about it. You realize the situations that they're in, the struggles that they're dealing with, financial trouble, spiritual battles that they are facing. And we know that there are people out there that need the name of Jesus, that need the word of God in their lives today. And John's ministry was not about success. He did not want to be the person that people would look at and say, there is the minister John. Here is the man John. He's doing such a wonderful job crying out in the wilderness, eating honey and locusts and doing his thing. That wasn't his desire, is that people would notice him and recognize him as the man and a success in his life. But he was about the mission. He had to prepare the world for Jesus Christ. He had to make a way where Jesus could come and he could minister, and there would be a ground that was ready and a ground that was prepared. We know that there is a parable about the different types of ground. And if the ground's not ready, then the word's not going to be received. And so John had to go into this world and had to prepare a way so that Jesus could come and do his work that he had to do. This is something about John, is that he was humble. That's something that I would like to try to take a page out of John's playbook today. John was a humble man. People heard his preaching and they began to question if he was the Messiah. They would ask him, you know, are you the Messiah? Is it you who's coming that's going to save us? Are you going to be our king? Are you going to be our deliverer? Because they were so impacted by his words, and the message that he was preaching, and the baptism of repentance that he was committing to people. And they heard him preached and they were moved in their hearts, and they believed what he was preaching. They believed what he was saying. And because of his humbleness, John did not allow himself to be the focus of his ministry. This is something so important in our lives today. When we think about what we're doing in the church, when we think about what we're doing on the outside of church, that the focus is not on us, but the focus is on Jesus Christ. He's the one that does all the saving. He's the one that does all of the redeeming. It's by his blood, it's by his stripes that we are healed. So we have to realize that he is the one that's doing everything, and we're just a vessel. We're just a conduit that God can move through. I want to have that humbleness. I want to have that sincere desire for the word of God like John did. And when John got the credit, instead of accepting it, instead of saying, you know what, yeah, I got it going on. I can preach with the best of them. I can go out into the wilderness, and I can go with a camel hair on my back, and people love me. That wasn't his idea. Instead, he pointed to Jesus, and he said, he is the real deal. He is the one who I'm not even worthy to put his sandals on. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. This is a man that is coming who is mightier than I, and I'm baptizing you right now unto repentance, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. This was a man that was pointing towards something great, something more powerful than he could ever imagine. And us today, we must focus on Jesus Christ. Ministry can be a fine line to walk. And I'm not just talking about pulpit ministry, but I'm talking about the everyday ministry that you have the potential to do in your life. What happens in the church is so very important. You must be under the authority of your pastor. When Pastor McGuire is leading you and directing you, of course, be under authority. But I do also believe that we are empowered personally to make a difference in people's lives every single day. You think about the people you come into contact at the grocery store. You think about the people you come into contact at your job and amongst your circle of friends. You have an opportunity for ministry, but it's a very fine line to walk. God can use you to minister to someone's needs today. And in our daily lives, we are confronted with ministry opportunities. I think about just a week ago, I was preaching at our church on a Sunday morning. I was speaking about how you can give to people that are hurting. And so if somebody is struggling financially and you recognize that need, maybe you should give to them and not be able to walk by. Use the example of the Good Samaritan, how all others walk by, yet the Samaritan would not walk by. He would do what was necessary to be a help. And after I preached that message, we went out to go out to eat as apostolics do. Can I get an amen? Of course, you go out to eat after you go to church. And, why would you not do that? And we went to the restaurant, and as I went and ordered my food, and I went to go sit back down so they could bring it out. And as I did that, out of the corner of my eye, I recognized a woman that I had seen in the neighborhood so very often. And it's someone that I've helped out before, and I've talked to her for a few moments, and I realized that she's just broken. She's hurting, and she needs help. And I realize, how dare I just look at her out of the corner of my eye? I just preached a message on helping people that are in need. And I realize there are opportunities for ministry every single day. How dare we just walk by and allow others to be hurting, allow others to need the name of Jesus, and not make a difference in their lives? God is absolutely amazing. And everything that he does through us is amazing. Can I get an amen this morning? We serve a great and mighty God. And when God begins to do the things that God does, we must be careful not to take the credit for it. That's the mindset that John had. God is doing all these wonderful things through me. I'm preaching, I'm ministering, yet he was not going to take the credit when they said, oh, you're so awesome, John. You're doing all these wonderful things. He said, no, God is the one who's doing wonderful things in my life, and he's touching you through that. Makes me think about a group project at school or at work. Have you guys ever been involved in a group project where someone was doing all the work and everyone else was just sitting by and letting them do the work, right? And then when it comes time to get the credit, when it comes time to get the grade, or your boss comes to look at the work that you've done, and you realize, and they come and pat you on the shoulder and pat you on the back, when the truth is that you actually didn't do anything at all, but the one person did all the work, or maybe you're that one person that's doing the work. We must be careful not to take credit for the things that God has done for us. That's how God feels whenever we try to take credit for the work that he's doing in people's lives. Amen. The truth is that we don't change lives, God does. We don't heal the sick, God heals the sick. We don't forgive sins, God forgives sins. And we don't fill people with the Holy Ghost, he's the one that fills people with his Spirit. It's a gift, and it's for everybody, and we must trust that God is going to fill them. We can't do it ourselves, but we have to allow God to do the work. Of course, he wants us to be involved. Of course, he wants us to be his hands. He wants us to be his feet. But ultimately, it's God's Spirit that is doing the work. We must stop taking credit for the things that God did. Say this with me. Say, God did it. I gotta quit it. I gotta quit taking credit for the things that God is doing in my life and the lives of others. Amen. The Holy Ghost is absolutely life-changing. It is a free gift, and I believe this, it completely changes the way that you think, it changes the way that you act, it changes your daily interactions with others in a way that I've never seen any other thing be able to do. But the Spirit of God is so powerful in our lives. When you recognize someone that comes into church brand new, and they don't know God, they don't know about baptism, they don't know about repentance, and you see that change that happens in them when they are taught a Bible study, when they hear the Word of God and they respond in worship, when they come to an altar and tears are just streaming down their face, it's so wonderful to see the change that God can do in a life. Can you say amen this morning? Have you seen someone's life change by the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. I believe that it's God's will that every single person would receive His Spirit. But we can't give it to anyone. We have to allow God to fill others. There's a man in the Bible named Simon who didn't quite understand this concept. And I want us to jump to that scripture right now. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. We're going to examine this story about how Simon believed that the Holy Spirit was something that he could have as a power, and he could purchase it and he can buy it, and it was a thing that he could obtain. But we know that's not the truth today. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see here already that they've been baptized in Jesus' name, but they have not yet been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, though. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Uh-oh. Saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. He's telling him, you have the wrong priorities here. It's not about money. It's not about what you can obtain. But you have to put God first in these situations. Repent, therefore, for this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. I realized that Simon began to change his tone real quick after Peter got a hold of him. He went from being this power hungry and desiring what he was seeing, that he could give it to other people and so he could have that power. And then he went from that to humbleness immediately as Peter rebuked him. I don't know if this happened exactly, but I kind of imagine Peter getting a hold of Simon by the ear and kind of tugging on him like you do when you're in trouble and your mama grabs you by the ear. I don't know if he did that exactly, but Peter had a thing with ears. And figure he grabbed him by the ear and said, you better get your act straight. You better get yourself right, because that's not the right attitude to have right here. God's Spirit is a gift, and it's going to fill others, but your heart's not right here. You have wickedness to your heart, and pray that he may forgive you. Amen. He went from power hungry to begging for mercy real fast. Peter understood this, that the only way that we are filled with the Spirit is that God does it. I hope that when we pray for our family members, when we pray for people that are important to us, that we want them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that we realize that we can't do it, that God has to be the one that comes inside of their lives and begins to change them from the inside out. Amen. We are instruments that God uses, but ultimately, He is the one doing the life-changing. He is the one impacting people. Amen. Peter knew this because his mind was focused on Jesus. And that's what I'm encouraging us to do this morning, is to focus on Jesus. Peter walked with Jesus. He was scolded by Jesus many times because he was often quick to speak, and it wasn't always the right thing to say. He was scolded by Jesus. He was also complimented by Jesus when he said the right things. He denied Jesus. He was sent by Jesus, and he walked on the very water that Jesus was walking on. This is the kind of relationship that Simon Peter had with Jesus, and he knew what it meant to be focused on Christ. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, as we see an account of this. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'm sure you're aware of this story. You know what happens here. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." He's crying out as his feet are beginning to sink into the water. He's walked out. He's taken the step. He spent his time and his energy focusing on the man Jesus that is walking on the water. But he sees the wind, he sees the waves, and fear begins to overtake his heart. And he begins to focus on the things that are around him rather than keeping his eyes set upon Jesus. When Peter took his focus off of Christ, he began to succumb to the waves. Think about in my life, what's happened when I've begun to sink is that my mind was simply not focused on Christ. I began to think about my career, begin to think about my friendships, begin to think about the fun that I was having outside of the church, and it never satisfies. You always succumb to the waves, just can't quite keep your head above when you stop focusing on Christ. But when we walk on the waters of life, the only reason why we are doing that is that we are completely and truly sold out and focused on Jesus Christ. We're focused on his mission. We're focused on his word and every single thing that he wants to do in our lives. And people matter to us because people matter to God. The beauty of ministry is that absolutely anyone can do it. As long as your heart is right, as long as you are under authority of your pastor and you're listening to the voice of God, you can minister to others. Anyone can teach a Bible study. Anyone can pray for someone in an altar. Anyone can encourage someone who is in need. You can be a vessel for God, focused on his word, focused on his ministry. And Paul had an interesting dilemma. I want to take a look at a moment. More people taking credit, more people putting credit where it was not due and not focusing on what Jesus was doing in their lives. He had an interesting dilemma, Paul did, at his church in Corinth. People were more concerned about who got credit for the ministry than the actual work that God was doing. They weren't focused on the souls that were being saved and the lives that were being changed, but they're wondering, who's going to get the credit for this? Is it Paul? Is it Apollos? Who's the person who is in charge here and getting credit? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, we're going to examine that. It says this, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." The scripture is telling us today that it doesn't matter who's doing the work. It doesn't matter who's doing the teaching. It doesn't matter who's doing the preaching. What truly matters is that God is giving the increase. Let's stop focusing on our ministry. Let's stop focusing on what I can do and what kind of platform that I can get. But let's focus on Jesus Christ and what he's doing in our lives today. Let's focus on the power of the Holy Ghost that's beginning to seep inside of our lives and inside of others. Let's focus on Jesus Christ. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one." This is verse 8. "And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Kind of think about all the times in my life in different church relationships where the focus has been on self. And I'm sure that's not an issue here at Grace Point, but it's something we must be mindful of. Something we should think about is that even though we are involved in ministry, even though we're involved in helping others, we should be able to celebrate also others' lives when God is doing something good in their lives. I found myself getting to that point of jealousy, found myself getting to that point where I see God's moving in someone else's life and begin to have that weird jealousy come out. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that before, but I'm human, and it's happened to me before. But we must realize that it doesn't matter who's doing the work. What matters is that God is giving the increase. God is doing a work. Revival is happening. Souls are being filled with the Holy Spirit, and God is moving mightily in our lives today. I believe this today that Paul had the right idea, and that is that Jesus is the foundation, and that everything we do for Christ builds upon that foundation. Got to think about the way that a house is built, and the foundation must be secure. Everything else that's built on top of that foundation relies on the foundations to be secure. And for us today, our foundation has to be Jesus Christ. The foundation for your family must be Jesus Christ. The foundation for Grace Point Church must be Jesus Christ. Amen? He must be the foundation. He must be our priority. He must be everything that we care about, everything we pray for, everything we're concerned about, is that Jesus' name would be lifted up and that he would be glorified. Not so that we could be glorified, not so that we can just fill up a building with people, but we want to see Jesus Christ glorified. All we do is plant. All we do is water, and God is the one who gives the increase. When I found this myself in this time as a young person being involved in ministry, where I would get upset and get concerned whenever I would invite somebody out to church and it didn't work out. Or I would teach somebody a Bible study and they would come to church for a few weeks and then they didn't really enjoy it, they didn't like it, and they would, maybe stuff would happen, they would have school come back around and they'd get busy. And I felt defeated at moments in my life. Even as a very young man, when I had had friends that I'd bring to church and they'd go for 4 months and then they'd stop coming, I felt defeated until I realized that my job is not to save anyone. My job is not to be anyone's savior. My job is not to be anyone's redeemer. So if you've ever felt depressed, distracted, and just felt like you were not doing the right thing whenever you felt like a failure, that's not the truth. All that's happening right there is that they are rejecting the word of God. But your job is simply to water. Your job is simply to plant and allow God to give the increase. Allow God to do the things that God does. Allow God to provide healing. Allow God to provide salvation. Let God be God, and then we'll do our part. And when we allow that relationship to work out, man, the mighty things that God can do in our midst, the mighty things that God can do in Lakeland, Florida. Amen. I want to come to a close if you would stand to your feet this morning. As the music comes, definitely want to take some time to pray in this altar. I think it's important when we hear the word of God, when that comes, that we respond to it. I want to respond to the word of God in my life today. But as we're thinking about what we're going to do in this altar call, I want us to specifically focus on increase that can only come from God. Increase in your spiritual life, increase in your family, increase in this church, revival for God to take place, and increase. Pray for personal spiritual increase, and then let's also pray for increase as a church, that God would touch this body, this congregation, in one mind and one accord. God would just pour out his blessings, that God would just pour out his spirit and continue and let it overflow in our lives this morning. Do you want that today in your personal life? Do you want that in your church for increase, for spiritual growth, just for God to pour it out upon your lives today? I know I want that in my life personally. I welcome you this morning. This altar is open for you to come and pray as the musicians play a song and sing. This place is open and available for you to come to the altar, spend some time with God this morning. I love you, Jesus. Whatever you want in my life today, God. Whatever you want, Jesus.